Welcome to the Save Your Marriage by Restoring the Man podcast, dedicated to all the men who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages, with host Arturo Henriquez and sponsored by The Fortified Spouse.
So welcome to this podcast, differences between the feminine and the masculine and what it means to be masculine. This is going to be a very interesting podcast because it's going to give you a different perspective as to really what it is to be a man and what your wife is really looking for when she wants that masculine side of you and what it is not, right? So first, let's talk about how women are taking on more masculine traits. And the reason they're taking on more masculine traits is because in the past couple of decades, they have been primarily entering the workforce, a place that has been dominated by men for many, many decades, and they've been taking on those masculine traits that have pushed men to be successful in the workplace, for better or for worse. And so, you know, they become more authoritarian, they become more decisive, they become more cold and less emotional, more tactical, and less in touch with the feelings and more in touch with the outcome. And again, no judgment here, it's just things that are necessary to be a good manager or a good leader in a work environment. And so women have been taking on the masculine presence more often. Now, on the flip side of that, men have also been taking on the more feminine role. And the reason that's been occurring is for many reasons, but primarily it's because women want men to be more feminine. And by feminine, I mean more emotional, right? They want us to be more vulnerable. They want us to show our emotions more. They want us to communicate better. They want a shoulder to cry on. They want to share emotions and feelings. And again, for better or for worse, men have taken on that feminine role. But really, that's not what either one needs, the man or the female. The healthy combination is an essential component of a healthy marriage, is making sure that there's a healthy balance between the feminine and the masculine presence, right? It doesn't matter how alpha female your wife is. At the end of the day, when she comes home, she should be able to put down that masculine mask and be her true nature, which is feminine at home, with you and with the children. Now, the only way she can do that is if you create a masculine environment for her to feel safe to do so, because polarities attract. The masculine attracts the feminine attracts the masculine. So if you create a masculine environment, it will naturally pull out her feminine nature, which is what she wants to be when she doesn't have to wear this mask at the workforce. And one of the most important parts about the nature of being feminine is sharing. And we're going to talk about sharing in and of itself in a different podcast. So sharing in the feminine presence, sharing and expressing oneself as a woman is the essence of being feminine. So what does that mean? Well, it's one of the defining characteristics of being feminine, to be able to express yourself with words and express the feelings, the emotions that are inside. When your wife does that, she's being feminine. She doesn't need your help in most cases. Again, us men tend to offer help and offer to fix things. She doesn't necessarily need advice or fixing. She's simply expressing herself because that's her feminine essence coming out. That's just her nature. Now, the more your partner shares with you in the relationship, the safer she feels around you. And that's regardless of how she expresses herself. She might be yelling and cussing and cursing at you. She might be blaming you for the relationship problems or even for the problems the world is facing. And it's okay. It's fine. If you're not triggered, if you're not reacting to it, and you're just letting her be that way, you're being masculine. And what happens is she starts to realize that it doesn't matter how she expresses herself, you're not going to react, and so she's able to freely express herself and be feminine. The more she shares, the better listener you are as a husband, because you're providing that masculine environment. The more you're fulfilling your role of creating a safe and secure environment for her to express her full femininity. So I want to give you an analogy as to how to look at this masculine and feminine presence, right? Think of it as the lighthouse versus the water, right? In fact, if you look at the Fortified Spouses logo, it's of a lighthouse surrounded by water, which will make sense to you why that is in this podcast and possibly future podcasts. So the lighthouse versus the water that surrounds it, right? It's an easy way to try to understand what it is to be masculine. So imagine that the feminine presence equals the water and the masculine presence equals the lighthouse. Now the water surrounds the lighthouse. The lighthouse is always sturdy. The lighthouse is always solid. It never changes shapes. It's the same shape, the same dimension. It's solid. It's always calm. It's always collected. It's confident in its purpose. It's sturdy and safe, fulfilling its mission and purpose of leading and guiding, whether the light is on or off, right? Keeping that light on no matter what, when it is needed, whether the water is calm or whether it is a raging storm. That is the masculine presence. The feminine is the water. So the feminine, it sparkles. It is waves. It moves around. It can be calm or stormy. In one second, it could be soothing. And the next, it could become a raging presence that threatens the lighthouse and all things around it. It's all over the place. See, the interaction between the two gives the water stability. By the solidity and unmovable structure of the lighthouse and its purpose, which is to lead and to guide, the water has the room to be sparkly and to exist in its natural form, splashing everywhere, all over the place, without penetrating the lighthouse or changing its purpose of guiding and leading. You see, that's the metaphor of the interaction between masculine and feminine. Men have to be the lighthouse. And women by nature act like the water. So your role as a husband is to be the lighthouse, to lead, to guide, and to be always confident and sturdy, unmovable. And your wife's role is to be the water. And the roller coaster rides that you see in your wife, well, that's just her being feminine. She's expressing herself. She's up one day, she's down the next. She tells you one thing, and then she immediately tells you the complete opposite, you know, an hour, a day, or 2 days later, and it gets you confused. And then you become the water yourself. But you cannot do that. You have to remain the lighthouse so that your wife, with her feminine presence, can start to count on you and rely on your masculinity, right? So understand that when your wife is up and down, it is her nature. It is her being feminine and expressing herself in the way that she needs to, regardless of how that affects you. You always have to be the lighthouse, unencumbered by your emotions and not taking anything personally and giving her the space to be the way she needs to be. And the feminine and the masculine are polarities. They attract each other. That's why women are attracted to men and men are attracted to women. When there's this polarity and they're not in balance, a few things happen. First one is, one, attraction goes down. If you're not being masculine, your wife starts to take on being masculine for you. And that's a very difficult situation because it beats up your self-esteem as a man, your manhood, your ego, your self-worth, and you're suddenly caught in this catch-22. You love your wife so much, but she could be a bitch. She's being masculine. You don't know what to do with that, and it engages your ego. Whenever she's being masculine, she's pushing away her natural way of being, which is feminine. And remember, women are multitaskers, so they're obviously going to try to do both, be feminine and masculine when you're not providing the masculine environment. They do this instinctively, guys. It's not like they choose to do it. So you need to have both present, the masculine and the feminine, in order for the relationship, for a marriage to be healthy. And she can only be in her true feminine, healthy feminine presence if you are providing that masculine environment. See, the goal of this is nothing more than to have you understand that when your wife is being moody, complaining, emotional, a bitch, she's actually really not. She's just expressing herself and she's being the way she needs to be. It's her nature. Your goal for now is not to take it personally. Let it go in the right ear and come out the left. Do not take it personally. Be the lighthouse. As you begin to better understand this, you will have a better context and you will not be triggered as easily or take things so personally. It will build your confidence and move you from a place of doubt and uncertainty as a husband to being a self-assured, masculine, fortified man. So now that we've talked about the difference between the feminine and the masculine, let's talk a little bit about what it means to be masculine. What does masculine mean? Right? First of all, what is it not? There's a lot of common misconceptions about what it is to be masculine. And at the Fortified Spouse, we have our own interpretation because we are looking at it from a save your marriage standpoint. I want this relationship to work standpoint. This is our definition of what healthy masculinity is. So don't get into the whole mindset of this is the only definition. No, this is our definition of what it is to be a healthy masculine man so that your marriage will work. That's the key. So first of all, what masculinity is not? It is not about being a jerk, an asshole. You see, many men try to overcompensate by being jerks. You know, when you're dating or you're trying to court women and you want to play those kind of games, well, you become kind of like the bad guy, a jerk. You don't answer calls, you don't answer texts, you flirt with other women at bars. You know, you portray the image that you don't need her or that you are desired by many, that you are a great catch. And that is supposed to make your woman be attracted to you more. And it could be a cool game in the dating world. And it may work, but not in a marriage, not at all. Being masculine is not about being an asshole, nor is it about being macho or tough. See, one of the more common misconceptions is you need to be macho to be a masculine man. Guys, and that is simply not the case. Macho, or what men usually describe as macho, what most of that is men pretending that they're masculine when they don't have the confidence to be masculine. So they have to overcompensate and be macho and be tough in front of their women to pretend they've actually got it together. You know, they don't back down from a fight, for instance. They show a tough exterior. They do not show emotions because showing emotions is a sign of weakness in the macho world. So what masculine isn't is being macho or tough. It isn't about being socially unacceptable either. You don't have to go swearing your head off. You don't have to go pass gas in front of your women to prove that you're masculine. In fact, none of this is proving that you're masculine. It's all about trying to be masculine. And it's not about being emotionally unavailable either. Because guys, us men, well, of course, we have emotions just as much as women. And you having these emotions, even you sharing those emotions, is completely masculine. And sharing them is a very masculine trait and one that makes your wife melt and feel a deeper connection with you because it brings out her femininity. Being emotionally available is a major faction in connection. So being emotionally unavailable is a major factor in a disconnected marriage, disconnection between wives and husbands, and the ultimate deterioration of a marriage. Being masculine is not about being macho or tough, socially unacceptable, or emotionally unavailable. And the other part about which is not masculine is always trying to be masculine. So let me explain that one a little better. So we're defining masculinity for the purpose of having your marriage work. You don't always have to be masculine intentionally, I mean. You don't have to walk around being masculine. Listen, if you're an artist in your life, you may have to be really creative and dynamic and pull from a lot of feminine energy to be successful in that aspect of your life. What we're talking about here is being masculine with your woman, with your wife, to allow her femininity to come out and to give you that self-assuredness and that confidence so that you can be masculine with her. So masculinity is really not related to men or gender. Women are masculine and men are masculine and feminine. Your wife could be a real powerhouse at work. The issue comes up if you're being masculine and she's also being masculine at home. So it's not about men or gender. It's about the way that you're being in your marriage. It's about being the lighthouse so your wife can be the water. Now, let's talk about the masculine-feminine polarity. It's like batteries. If you have positive energy, it naturally attracts negative energy. If you have positive energy and positive energy together, they repel each other. So in your relationship, if you're being feminine and she's being feminine, you're naturally repelling each other. In your relationship, if she's being masculine and you're being masculine, well, again, you're repelling each other. So what becomes critical is leaving the room for the other person to show up in their natural state. But if you're a powerfully enough and consistently enough masculine man, she will find her place in femininity. And if right now she's not a very feminine woman, you'll give her room to be feminine by consistently being masculine. It creates the space for her to be feminine. So what's key here is when you're being masculine, you will pull her feminine out. They naturally attract each other. She doesn't even have to know what's going on. It'll pull her feminine out naturally. And if you start getting shaky in your masculinity, there will be times when she has to be masculine, because to have a partnership work, both are necessary. So again, we mentioned this before, but one of the challenges that we faced, I'd say in the last two generations, is that women's liberation movement. And again, I'm not taking a stand for or against it. That's not for me. That's not what this podcast is about. I'm not in any way, shape, blaming or not the women's liberation movement and what it stands for. But women's liberation has given them more freedom to be whoever they want to be. Now, unfortunately, what comes with that is how it is now expressed, as we mentioned before, in the workplace. Men are very masculine to be successful at work, because that's what it takes to be successful professionally, depending on the job. If you're being an authoritarian at work, or you're controlling, you're managing, you're leading, you're taking risks and being decisive, independent of the emotional consequences, those are seen as very masculine traits, right? If you're showing rigidity, that purpose-driven, take no prisoners attitude, that's masculinity. Women have made remarkable strides in the workforce and have achieved more prominence in managerial and leadership positions. And now they are being more masculine to succeed in it, sometimes just to survive in a masculine environment. Unfortunately, what that's done to a lot of males is they've thought that they need to be more feminine to get along with women, especially powerful women. That masculinity that they're exuding has pulled out the femininity in men. And that causes a great deal of problems in relationships. Our society these days is tending to have men be more feminine and women be more masculine. Again, the problem arises when everyone comes out of the workplace and comes back to reality, the reality of the relationship, their family, their home, and they're not being their natural self. Because now that polarity that's indispensable in a relationship, in a marriage, is no longer there, right? So let's talk a little bit about the origins of femininity and masculinity. Now, the differences between masculine and feminine start back thousands of years. I mean, we're going back to caveman times. Back then, there would be a group of men who would go out and hunt, and they would hunt and bring back their kill. They would go out and hunt, and it would sometimes, take days or even weeks. and they would bring back the kill to feed the group. And that was the hunter pack, right? The hunters. And then there was the gatherers, typically the women. And they'd go out and they'd get berries and they'd go out and get fruit and really whatever they could pick. And then bring that back, and that's more the consistent, stable food that they ate every day. And that worked really well because the gatherers would keep everybody fed and the hunters would go out and get the meat every once in a while so people could feast. So that's the interaction that happened in between masculine and feminine thousands of years ago. You had the hunters, which are the men, and you had the gatherers, which were the women. Well, a bunch of skills and natural inborn abilities came with being a hunter, and a bunch of natural skills and inborn abilities came with being a gatherer. Being a hunter, you have to be focused, laser focused. You see your target, your eyes don't leave it, and you're focused and you go after your target. See, being a hunter, if you're chasing your kill and you hit a branch and you get caught, you know, you get a wound, you ignore the pain until your catch is accomplished, right? You don't take time to deal with the pain right then and there. You take the wound and move on. And you certainly don't share it with the other men. You know, they're expecting you to carry forward. We have to make this kill, and we have, you know, to be precise about it. We don't have time for anything else. And there was very little communication other than tactics. You go one way, I go the other way, and we ambush our kill. And that was it. Very tactical. There was no need to share anything else. Didn't belong. Part of what is to be, you know, what it was to be a hunter is to prepare each other. So men in the cave would bang on each other's shields to make sure they were ready. They test each other's weaknesses. So men have to be able to handle those kind of tests back then. That is part of what it was to be a hunter. That's part of what makes you a good hunter. Tough, focused, single task oriented, showing no emotions, no need to talk other than tactical. And above all, be tough and successful. That's all that counted. That was the importance of being a successful hunter. So then the gatherer, there's a bunch of skills, different skills that make you a good gatherer. You need to be seeing multiple things at once. A single focus does not work for a gatherer because there's berries here and there's berries over there and there's fruit over there in the trees behind the little mountain, behind the hill, over by the lake, by the river. And then maybe you leave those ones behind for the next one, so the gatherer deals with many things at a time. And at the same time as they're gathering, they could be planting, right, for future, to gather future fruit. The gatherer does many things at a time. They're multitaskers. And because there's so much to do, they're always in constant communication. They have to be able to communicate in a more constructive, detailed ways back at the camp. You know, men's communication isn't simple and straight. It's there, now, attack. It's about the hunt. The gatherer's communication is much more different. There's planning, there's different scenarios, there's multitasking, there's different phases to the picking of the berries and gathering them and putting and bringing them back and then putting them in a safe place and then laying it all out so that everyone can feast. And if something changes, they would talk about it and regroup because they needed to bring food back every day. So lots of communication and detailed communication was necessary. So these are natural abilities that came up in men and women. Women, great multitaskers, communicating a lot, sharing a lot, expressing a lot, adapting to different scenarios, whereas the man is you know, very linear, very focused, you know, attack, now, go. And that's where the masculine and feminine really come from. And again, I'm oversimplifying a little bit here for the sake of time, but here's where masculine and feminine innate nature was developed and evolved over time to the present day. And of course, there's other aspects of the masculine and feminine. Men have the ability to mate and mate and mate and mate and mate, meaning they can have sex multiple times. into their 90s, they can have babies. Women have a very limited time frame. They can have babies, physically speaking, from about 12 years old to about 40, while men could go all the way to the 90s. And that's it for women. So they have a limited time frame, and the whole mating process, the actual process, it's not 2 minutes like it is for us men, right? We you know, have sex, we go, and a couple minutes later, we're done. For the woman, it's 9 months. Their mating process is 9 months for women. So a man can impregnate 60 women in that time. But a woman has to pick one mate, one man. So part of that is in relationship between masculine and feminine. Women need to test the men. They need to find out out of the 40, 50, 60 men that they can mate with, who's the one that's worth 9 months. See, men don't need to do that. If that one, is not right, let's go to the next one 20 minutes later. So there's some natural things that are built up as a result of this, and the differences between men and women, masculine and feminine, arise. Again, this further develops the differences between them and naturally, forms part of their nature. Another fundamental difference between masculine, feminine, and men and women, I don't know if a few men have experienced this or not, but sexually, in order to get a woman in bed, the typical man has to show her that she's loved. See, when a woman experiences that she's loved, she feels loved, she's open for intimacy. She's open for sex. Now, for men, it's completely different. Men are open for sex all the time. And then after sex is over, when the man has fully surrendered themselves, given himself over to the woman, that is when the man feels love. So women need to feel loved to be intimate, whereas men feel loved as a result of intimacy. Right? So for women, the feeling dictates the action. For men, the action dictates the feeling. And it's a common practice with men where they'll say, I did this because I felt this way. And that's very feminine. Men take action and cause their feelings. Women have feelings and cause their actions. And by understanding some of these differences between men and women, you could have a lot more room for understanding the other sex in their true masculine and feminine nature. So let's end this with answering the question, why is it important to be masculine? Well, to be self-assured, to be a masculine man, you get to be confident. You can just be naturally who you are as you are. There's a confidence that comes with that. You know yourself, you know who you are, and you're sure of yourself. Remember the lighthouse? It doesn't move. The lighthouse knows its purpose. It's to lead, it's to guide. And it's low maintenance. There's no sparkling or splashing. It's a dull structure, but that's simple. Again, it's low maintenance. The man is not the one who has to have all of these twists and turns and splash around and be calm and ferocious within a 5 second span to be themselves and to be happy. When you're a masculine man, guys, life is easy. And most importantly, you're able to handle anything. By being masculine, as you take that on as a way of being, it gives you the ability to handle any situation and handle it confidently, unfazed, like a man. So you want to be masculine to have your marriage work. You're probably listening to this podcast because that's probably been a challenge. So if you want your marriage to work, guess what? The easiest way to do it is to be masculine, the way we've described it in this podcast. Now, that's not going to guarantee anything per se. It's not. But what it'll create is the confidence in you and the ability for you to handle things. And it'll likely drum up the femininity in her. And the drumming up of that femininity in her and the masculinity in you does two things. One, it causes attraction. And two, it makes everyone at ease and at peace with themselves, because they're being true to their nature. So you become more at peace with yourself, she becomes more at peace with herself, and there's less conflict. Now that's just in your relationship. If you're being masculine, you're fighting against your instincts less and less. You're more at peace with yourself. It happens in much more than just your marriage. When we're talking about being at peace with yourself, we're talking about, you know, your life. You'll have the respect of other men. You'll have success in your life just by naturally being the way that your instincts are lined up to be. Now, unfortunately, the most common way that men act to be masculine is fake it until you make it. And guess what? That is not something that works. Absolutely not. Fake it till you make it. Being masculine is about who you are. If you're not being who you are, it's not masculine. And you're being an actor. And women will judge actions over words. They will see right through your pretenses to be masculine. And that's where all that macho stuff comes from, guys. And being a jerk comes from. And turning off your emotions, being emotionally unavailable, and that socially unacceptable comes from. That's not being masculine. Showing off your masculinity is a demonstration of the lack of masculinity that you actually have. If you're talking about how masculine you are, chances are there's doubt there. The purpose of this podcast is for you to be masculine for yourself and allow your wife to be feminine for herself in her feminine presence. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you are hurting, if you are lost, if you are in despair, you need to understand what is actually going on. You need to get the tools to become confident, independent of your wife. You need to get the tools to better communicate. You need to get the tools to deal with your emotions. You need to get the tools to manage her reactions. You need to get the tools to deal with your insecurities and your triggers. You need to get the tools to become a better version of yourself. You need to start to make decisions that are empowered instead of disempowered. So if you're facing these decisions, if you're facing this anxiety of being lost and have these questions, what do I do now? How do I respond when my wife is being toxic? I don't know what to do. My wife doesn't love me. I don't know what to do. My wife is cheating on me. I don't know what to do. She wants a separation or she wants a divorce. I just don't know what to do right now. Well, we can help you find those answers and give you the tools. Now, if you're interested in learning more about these tools, how to stabilize the marriage, how to postpone and delay the divorce or separation so you can work on yourself, how to start making changes to you, how to start building confidence, how to start being an empathetic listener, how to communicate better, how to build trust, how to change your context, how to build desire, and so many other things you need to do to become a better man, to become a better husband, to become a better father, then I invite you to take part in the Fortified Spouse program. Go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. The program is going to change your life. It's going to make you a better man. It's going to restore the man, and it's going to save your marriage. This is Arturo Henriquez, and thank you for listening.
You have been listening to the podcast, Save Your Marriage by Restoring the Man. For further information, visit the Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.